ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. I know I sound a little bit weird. Internet down again here for some reason. Got to figure it out. So we're just going to have to do the show from here again, figuring it out as we go along. But I know something. Our teams have figured it out. Man, oh, man, oh, man, was that good. Both of them yesterday. Offensively, to start the season for the Astros, boy, wow. What a difference a healthy Yordan makes. What a difference Christian Walker hitting the ball makes. Carlos with the big home run. Carlos had really been scuffling. He had 5 at-bats with the bases loaded and just couldn't come through. And then he comes up with a couple more on. And I guess, you know, when he's hitting 4th in this lineup, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and he sure has. And he came through yesterday with the big 3-run homer that opened up the game, and the Astros go on to win it. Mike Burrows giving up just a couple of runs. He settled down a little bit as opposed to his first outing, a little bit better. And then the bullpen did the rest, and the Astros did the rest. And taking care of business is what they're doing. Now they're on the road. They get a day off today, and then they head to Sacramento to take on the A's for 4. So, nice homestand, 5-2. A little bit better than you thought they'd do?
Yeah, this has been really exciting to watch the Astros be able to score like this and see their offense really take off like this. It's been really great.
What is your deal?
My internet's down.
No, your internet is not down.
I think there's some questions about the pitching.
How are you even on? You got to have internet to use your. You're just on the phone.
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, sounds. I couldn't tell the difference.
You could tell the difference.
I can't tell the difference. This is a surprise once again, and we'll get to this later on, really, but because the Rockets won again, so. What this means is Houston continues to be literally on fire, the hottest city. Now, we don't have a terrible heat wave coming yet, so knock on wood. But the hottest city in the history, not the history of sports, but we're, because Boston had a pretty good run at one point. But right now, this is hottest city, definitely in America. Maybe I keep up with Japan, obviously, so I think it's hotter than any team in Japan, the Kuchiwa, this, and... The Bears and the Fighting Tigers and Lions and stuff like that. I would say the Astros and Rockets, what they're doing, I don't want to say generational yet, but historic feels like it might be underselling it. 5 consecutive wins for the Astros where no one thought they would win any of those games.
Who are these people that thought that they wouldn't win any of the games against Boston or the Angels?
Dale, the haters.
Oh, well, that's true.
I never predicted 0-7.
You didn't predict 5-2 either.
I didn't predict anything, actually.
I'll say this, though. I went into this season with 0 expectations, but I was willing to be, I even said it. I said, look, I'll just be happy with how they perform. I don't have, I'm kind of excited because I don't have expectations now, but which has made each of these wins, frankly, it's not like one of these things where it's just an expectation. It wasn't an expectation for me. I'm not expecting them to be good offensively, and yet, so everything that they've done has been very exciting to me. I'd like Abreu to pitch better. I'd like for him not to give up home runs. And, there's things that I don't love right now, but every one of those pitchers now have a W. Hunter got one. Burrow's got one. Of course, Lance, you know, got his. He was fantastic. No, MI doesn't have a win. But
MI doesn't.
Yeah, actually, no. Actually, they won games when they pitched, but yeah, they don't have a win. Yeah, you're right. So they have a lot of cleanup to do for the starters. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But this is an unusual 7 games in. But this is unusual that 5 of these 7, the offense has been able to not carry the pitching all the time, but they've done more than done their part. The offense has more than done their part, which is something you really, you know, couldn't say for most of last year. Certainly not over a stretch of 5 games. There was never a 5-game stretch, I don't think. There was that one time when they were in L.A. where they swept L.A. where we were like, oh, my God. I think they swept L.A., right? Wasn't that a sweep?
Well, then it all fell. It immediately
it fell apart almost immediately after that. But they had a run where they were scoring a lot of runs. Yeah. But I think it was for 3 games that they did that. I doubt
that
there's been 5
gold,
straight.
Though. Remember that lineup that they beat Dodgers with 17
a bunch
runs?
Of guys who I wouldn't even remember their names anymore.
No. Now it's Yordan. It's Carlos. It's Altuve. It's sometimes Pena. It's Walker. Paredes. I mean,
yeah,
these are bona fide major league hitters now.
Yeah. And that wasn't the case when the Astros were holding it together last year. Well, but
they put up their, you know, they sometimes they ask pretty good poll questions.
Yep.
And one of them was, what gives you the most hope for the season? This one yesterday's was, what gives you the most hope for the season? Christian Walker's resurgence, Yordan's being healthy and crushing it,
right.
Lance McCullers and what he did, or there was one other one, I forget what the other one was. But it came in 31%, 30%, 29%, Walker, Yordan, McCullers. Those 3 things happening all at once it's incredible. And look at the difference. Christian Walker hitting 5th, and he started the season. Joe was like, well, until you start hitting him, you're going to bat 7th here. And then, holy crap, he's hitting. Look at him. And now he's hitting right behind Carlos. And when Carlos wasn't able to pick people up, Christian Walker is. So if Christian Walker in this lineup hitting the way that he is with the doubles is huge, huge for this team.
I just got on Twitter said the Astros offense is not a surprise. I mean,
okay.
Okay, if you say so.
Right. This has been since 20 last year.
No, the
Christian
offense
Walker
good.
Was not good
it
last
hasn't
year.
Been, it hasn't been very good since 23.
Yeah.
It's fallen off. So I don't know why you think this isn't a surprise when H-Town kid, when you look at how Christian Walker performed last year, how Yordan performed last year, there was no guarantee that Yordan was going to come back fully from. He didn't come back last year fully. You have Jose Altuve as an older player. Jeremy Pena has not played the entire time. He's played some games, but not all of them. You don't know with Paredes coming back off of injury. And then you had what was considered one of the worst outfields in baseball. So I don't know that the offense was expected to be good. Did you hear anyone say that?
No,
I didn't either. Including beat writers who cover the Astros.
Yeah, and all spring it was like, wow.
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, Jerm, I don't think you paid any attention during the spring.
Not
a multitude of guys were in the hundreds.
No, it was bad during the spring, and so no. This is much better. And oh, by the way, whenever you got what was considered the 3 young players or 3 unproven at least. Players in Loper Fido, Jake Myers, and Cam Smith. Throw in Matthews, Bryce Matthews. You got 4 guys that are unproven, or at least Jake Myers isn't proven. 4 guys who are unproven at the bottom of the lineup. Right. Then you're going to have a problem. But you know what? They haven't been a problem. Yeah, even that hasn't been really a problem.
No. And this now look, it's probably not going to stay like this for the whole season. But because it's a it's a confluence of everything, you know. Now, Yordan could end up having a really great year. That's definitely possible. It's not a reach. The ones you're hoping for, and Lance McCullers, of the three that you mentioned, Lance McCullers is still the one that it was a great story the first time out. Yep. We just have to, you know, it's literally game by game. You just want this to turn into a good story. And so game by game, I'm excited about seeing his next start, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to put unnecessary expectations on Lance McCullers yet. Christian Walker, though, it's pretty much, I mean, Christian Walker needs to play well. They signed him to a good contract. You had Abreu's money was a dump. Last year, Christian Walker was well below expectations, although, you know, he did hit with a little pop in the second half of the season, but it was, in general, Christian Walker had a disappointing year last year. A bounce-back year is necessary from Christian Walker. Absolutely. Paredes getting in the lineup. I mean, that's Espada's job to get him in the lineup because he can hit. Jeremy Pena, I think, needs to show that he's that guy. He's going to get paid like that, so he might as well, in the years the Astros have left with him, he might as well, you know, turn into one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball. So, and then if you can get one outfielder, whether it's Loperfito or Cam Smith or whoever it is, if you can get one outfielder to have a career year, because it won't take much because their careers are not, you know, are not celebrated by any stretch when we talk about those two guys especially. And maybe to a lesser extent, Jake, who had a career year last year but didn't really hit any home runs. That's what it's going to take. But, you know, it's also going to take the bullpen doing their job. Blue ball looked good yesterday. You did give up home runs over the last two innings. You gave up solo home runs, which, you know, it went from being a comfortable game to a little bit tighter game. But,
well, I'm sorry you were uncomfortable.
Yeah, I got a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, you had a 6-2 lead, and you made you a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well,
I mean,
the bullpen makes me uncomfortable sometimes. Abreu makes me uncomfortable sometimes.
Abreu is uncomfortable right now. There's no question. Abreu is a problem.
How about Yordan? How about them coming in on Yordan, hitting him in the ribs? Luckily, the ribs and not the hand.
Yeah.
Yordan was pissed. And, you know, if that, John, that's, you know, we're about 7 inches away from Yordan getting hit on the hand and all of a sudden potentially having a brand new discussion this morning. And I don't think he did it on purpose. I think he's trying to come, you know, in with a high fastball, but still, not good. Yordan was pissed because you can sense that guy is a guy who knows, man, I got to stay healthy. I can't have this nonsense happening.
Well, and it's in large part because, you know, how he was crushing them. Yeah, they're going to pitch him inside. Every single at-bat, they were throwing him inside to start so that he wouldn't lunge out over the plate, so that he wouldn't feel comfortable up there.
Yeah.
But you saw Crochet's reaction as soon as he hit him. He was like, oh, he did not mean to hit him.
Yeah,
him
no, was, I, no.
There was a ball that got away from him, and that's, you know, listen, there are teams or guys. Crochet probably isn't that guy that's going to hit you just because you're crushing their team. You know, that's, I don't think Crochet is going to try to get you out every time. So I don't think that was the case, but Yordan was pissed. I tweeted that, read his lips, and he said, I'm serious. That is effing BS. That is effing BS right after it happened. And I was like, he knows his English. Why has he got a translator? What's that about? He doesn't need that. If he knows those good words like that, he don't need no translator. Okay. But those are obviously the first words, the words that you learn. I swear, when you go replay it and watch it and watch what he says afterwards, that is effing BS. Only the words. And you know what? It is. It's scary. You saw Joe ran out there. Joe's like, "You okay, big guy? You all right? You okay? You okay, buddy?" Yeah. Because if he's hurt, that's. I mean, what a weapon. I mean, you see Judge's start. You see everybody start to play in the World Baseball Classic. They all suck. Everybody who played in the World Baseball Classic is sucking.
Did Ohtani play? Because he's not sucking.
He was one for his first 12 or something. Yeah. Ohtani started really crappy. Yeah.
Huh. Hold on a second.
Well, Americans, all Americans did.
Yeah, maybe
and,
Americans.
And even Ohtani started bad, 2 for 12.
Yeah, as a hitter, as a pitcher, he's pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's great, but he only pitches once every 5 days. He's really an average player, but that's.
Oh yeah, boy, he's got a 167 slug. That money they gave him, it is not worth it.
It's stupid. I mean, yeah, they shouldn't have given him that money. $70 million a year.
Wow, look how things have turned. I was big up in Yamamoto. You were fighting me on him, but now look at you.
I mean, he's pitched one game with 6 strikeouts. Yeah. Big deal anyway. Lance McCullers does that in a sleep.
Yeah. I mean, come on. He's no Lance McCullers.
Six innings. I mean, yeah, one hit, but he did have 3 walks.
I don't hear you championing Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
Okay. After his start.
Well, that's because he didn't go back-to-back in World Series games.
Yeah, just because he did it twice in the World Series. Big deal, anyway.
No, not twice. Back-to-back. Back-to-back games.
In a way, but, you know, this isn't the World Series. The real World Series is the World Baseball Classic, where he disappointed his whole country.
Huh.
And I know something about that country. I'm kind of Japanese.
Kind of.
And I was there for 10 days. Really, two of them were traveled. Two and a half were kind of travel days, so...
God, I saw some pictures yesterday. I follow some Earth thing that shows all kinds of great pictures. They had in downtown Tokyo with all – it looked like Times Square.
It's and Shibuya. You're talking about Shibuya.
Probably, yeah.
Where they cross like 1,500 people will cross during one stoplight at a time.
Yeah. It was like, holy, did you go there?
Our street carts, like the Mario carts, I did the Mario Kart driving. You literally drive by there and you think, how in the world are we going to get through here? Everyone gets their business done. They just get across the street and it's done. And you literally, and I'm like, how are we able to drive these Mario carts around? But me and my wife wouldn't put the costumes on. They want everyone to drive with costumes. And we're such Gen Xers. We're like, I'm not wearing a stupid costume. I don't want to have fun. And so, you know, you drive Mario Karts through there, like on the streets. And to this day, I'm like, how did that happen? Especially in Shibuya where it's packed.
You wore a ninja bandana in studio, but you wouldn't wear your costume?
Well, they actually made me do that at the knife making thing. We had to wear that on our heads, and then some type of robe that you're supposed to wear, too. It was dope. You guys would not have. Dell would have immediately appropriated. You're appropriating. They wanted me to be part of that culture, Dell. They give it to you and they say, "Put this on."
Yeah.
Become one with our culture. Yeah, Shibuya is nuts. When you go, if you go, you definitely have to go to Shibuya Crossing because that's where it is. It's almost like there's no such thing as a crosswalk. You just cross whatever direction you need to get there.
Well, that's how it is here. You got three. You got diagonal crossing.
Yeah.
This is Shibuya, Los Angeles. All right, we got a break.
Well, it's not quite the same cleanliness in the streets.
Dale, I can't see our documents. Are you going to? You would? No live. Okay, so we'll take a quick one. Anybody wants to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, we'll talk Rockets basketball on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Danny.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5. Rockets taking care of business against a team. I got to be honest with you. I'm not really familiar with many Milwaukee Bucks today. I got to tell you, that's a team that I was like, who? What? And, you know, Gary Trent Jr. got 7 minutes in. Otherwise, the whole team is like, who? Who are no wonder Giannis wants out of there.
Take a look at crap. Yeah, well they're just, you know, playing that out, but take a look at the scoring yesterday in the NBA. Philadelphia 153 points in their game. And none of these are overtimes. Atlanta 130 points. These are all separate games cuz Philadelphia had 153. Washington had 131. They scored 284 points in that game. Atlanta, 130. That's it. Boston, 147 to 129 over Miami.
That's not good basketball.
The New York Knicks had 130. Memphis had 119, so that hit 249. Sacramento had 123 in the lowest scoring of the night, 123 to 115. Indiana had 145 to Chicago's 126. That hit 271. Denver beat Utah 130 to 117. That hit 247. And then the Spurs had what would be considered the closest to a normal game, 127 to 113 over Golden State. That's the NBA.
Well, the Rockets had the most.
Well, yeah, the Rockets. Because the Rockets are still playing for something. They still play some defense. And that hit 232. That still went over the total.
Yeah.
Every game went over the total. How about this? Every game last night in the NBA went over the total. Now, you got some teams that are kind of packing it in, obviously. They're just trying to get done with the season. So,
it's not good basketball. No. It's not good basketball.
No.
It's like an NBA. That used to be the NBA All-Star game.
But this is what they wanted, though. They also wanted more points, the NBA. But it doesn't make it. What's happening is I don't mind teams who score a lot. If they are playing with pace and they make baskets, that's one thing. The problem you run into is if it's not competitive. If both sides are not competing, and late in the season, this is going to happen. You know, we see it. We see blowouts in the NFL where teams are just trying to play it out. I mean, that happens. But this, unfortunately, you don't have the same competitive level in the NBA that you used to have. Now, we romanticize it like it was always, you know, like everyone was good and everything they did. There was a lot of bad basketball that was, you know, there's bad basketball that was covered up as being just good defense when really offensively there were some just lousy offensive players back in the day. It was some really bad offensive players. They're much better offensively now. It's not even close. The skill level, the shooting is so much better. The problem is the intensity and the competitiveness has really, really dropped off for some of these teams. Yeah. And what's happening is the scoring, the points aren't doing anything for you. Just because Indiana beats Chicago 145 to 126, you know, you go, wow, 271 points scored. I doubt anyone cares. I doubt anyone in Indiana cares right now because, you know, they're not good. They're 18 and 58. Chicago's 29 and 47. All right, y'all scored a bunch of points. Who cares? Just a little slap fight between teams who aren't going to be doing anything. So who cares?
Yeah.
So it gets to that. But your Houston Rockets are the only one that matters. Just making a point about the amount of points scored right now around the league. The Rockets, Reed Sheppard, another big game for Reed and the Houston Rockets. So you're right. The Rockets, Dieng had a really good game. But the Houston Rockets right now are, they're not just playing out the streak. I mean, they want to keep this going. They want to keep their momentum going. And I'm glad to see it. Win out. I don't care. Win out. Going to that playoffs, winning out.
Well, I saw someone who was covering the team said, yeah, Ime is just trying to feel it out who's going to start in the postseason. Mm-hmm. He went with Tari the other night because they had a bigger lineup. He went now Reed. Listen, I don't think so. I think he's going to figure it out. Okay, what's the matchups? And I'm going to start Reed if it's more beneficial, or I'm going to start Tari.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be size and defense related.
Right.
You know,
right.
If it's a bad matchup.
As long as Tari's still playing well, that's a key. And as long as Reed
Tari got some starts when he wasn't playing well, too. Now, Tari had a stinker yesterday. Tari did not play well yesterday, so.
Well, it might have been, you know what, I'm playing so well, look how good I am, and now all of a sudden you put me back on the bench.
Reed Sheppard was 9 of 14 from 3. He shot 17 total shots. All of his makes were from 3 yesterday. Yeah. Last four games. Reed Sheppard, kind of data dredging a little bit here, but he's 18 of 33.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. 3 of 7, 2 of 5, 4 of 7, and 9 of 14. 13, 14, 15, 18, 12, 19, 33. Yeah, 18 of 33. I mean, that's really, really good. And before that, you know, he was rough, 2 of 10, 3 of 14, but from a split standpoint, he has picked it up. Well, I guess he was in April. Yes, technically he's in April. So that wouldn't count towards his March from a split standpoint, because he was down a little bit. He improved a little. I mean, his 3-point percentage was 36% in March, but I don't know. I feel a little bit more hope going into the first round. Once again, round by round for me, but getting through the first round, which they haven't done since 2020. Is the last time they got through the first round. Man, it's exciting thinking that they could still be playing playoff basketball beyond the first round after what happened last year at Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, well, if they play like this.
It wasn't my goal headed into the season, but I've readjusted as a fan, well, obviously, as a media member. I mean, I've readjusted my goal. And you know, we can have a conversation. We can have the autopsy at the end of the year. That's fine. But for right now, I just want to see them, you know, get into the playoffs, which is happening, and then see them play well in the playoffs and get to the second round, and then we'll see what happens. But obviously, I wanted them to compete for a championship. That's not my expectation right now, just being a realist. But that's okay. It's not going to keep me from enjoying the playoffs. I love playoff basketball.
Reed is averaging 26 minutes a night. He's averaging 43% from the field, but 39.4 from three, almost 40%. I'm going to take that every year from Reed.
Yeah, I want it to be over 40. If that's what he does to shoot threes, I want him to be about 42%.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I'm going to take after 33% last year. Yeah. I'm going to take 39 this year.
Yeah, because this is year two with Reed, right?
Right, two.
Three. Yeah, this is just year two. So, yeah, absolutely. He's progressing. That's what you wanted. And Reed's shown progression. He has his, you know, we know what his weaknesses are, but his strengths are becoming, he is still a little bit more streaky as a shooter than you want from being a quote-unquote elite shooter. I can't call him an elite shooter until you leave him open and he makes you pay for it. But, you know, when he streaks hot, he can really, I mean, he can lay down a bunch of threes. He is not afraid to shoot.
Well, I think it's – he looks like he's in more control. I think it's what Kevin Durant said the other day. He said, stop playing 100 miles an hour. Slow down. He looks like he's – even, you know, when he's catching and shooting, he's standing in the corner. He hit one the other night that was just, I mean, so pretty. It's like that he looks different. He doesn't look like he's hairy.
It's so funny. Isn't that the secret, though, for so many people? Like
everybody.
Like, you look at Dirk Nowitzki and Luka. You look at Jokic. Here's guys who are not tremendous athletes. But how do they get to their shots? How do they get open shots? How do they – you know, you have guys who play really fast. And we talk about this at wide receiver, like in the draft. There was a conversation about Carnell Tate. Oh, man, he ran a 4.57. Holy crap, that's slow. And then Bucky Brooks did the segment where he broke down, okay, Davante Adams ran like a 4.53, Puka Nacua ran a 4.5-something. You look at the best receivers, and not Justin Jefferson was fast, he was like a 4.41, but you look at some of the best receivers, even historically, Jerry Rice was a 4.5 wide receiver. The best receivers, it's not tied to speed. And that's because, you know, when you're a little bit slower, but you're functionally fast enough, you have the ability to decelerate, change directions, move, going direct, you know, better body control. And I bring that up as a wide receiver because it's the same thing in basketball. You don't have to, if you play really fast, a lot of times it's hard to control yourself and control your body. And so slowing down for Reed Sheppard, who's a pretty explosive athlete, you know, he actually is a pretty explosive athlete. All the timings and leaps and all that stuff he did at the NBA Combine, he's got some explosiveness and some speed. But when you get yourself under control, that's the thing, man. Being under control is the thing. James Harden, famously, you know, his Euro steps, his ability to control himself. He had a quick first step, but he was able to control his body and his movements so well. Now you tie that with skill of how to score, and you got yourself, you know, an elite scorer. So the point you brought up about Kevin Durant is an important one, because Kevin Durant's telling Reed to slow down because he understands going fast is not the secret. That's not the secret. It's going under control is the secret, and you'll make less mistakes.
Yep. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. come on in, hang out with us. I got to talk right now about GiveMeTheVIN.com. I'm talking about you selling your car. Whenever you have to sell it, it doesn't matter. GiveMeTheVIN.com is going to be around. John Clay Wolf's going to be here forever because John Clay Wolf has built something that is just incredible. I mean, he took this from nothing to a $2 billion company. He's around the country. He's in every major radio city, on the radio in every major city in the country. He is just something, what he did. And it's a simple, simple game plan. Buy high, sell low. Now, that normally, that's not the way that you do business. That's not a great way to do business. But when you buy high, then everybody's going to sell to you. And then you just make whatever you can when you resell. And you make a huge, huge business out of it. And it's what they do. And it's what that's been the philosophy. And that's the way John Clay Wolf has gone about it. And he's unbelievable. So he's going to offer you the most. Okay. And if he doesn't, if somebody says, no, I've got, you can get more. I can get more over here. Go back to John Clay Wolf and start an auction. And John Clay Wolf will bite. And John Clay Wolf will either beat their offer or he won't. And you're getting the most of your car. One place you have to go there every single time. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
The Ferrari and Jaguar switching four lanes, top down screaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the print.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Our team's looking pretty good. So right now anyway, as Lance said, we're the hottest city in America.
In America.
The hottest city
on the heels
in
of
America.
And the heels of millions of people coming in for spring break on the heels of that.
Right. After the rodeo and how successful that was with everybody punching each other in the face.
That was one day of fights.
And our
there was
our
some
judge,
days of booty. They did have to change. Yeah, the judge got...
The judge kicking everybody off the
what
dirt.
What am I doing? She didn't kick everyone out. She got kicked out.
Well, she no. She tried to get people kicked out that she could go in
that
there.
That didn't work.
That didn't work out
that
didn't for work. Her.
That was a bad video for her. She recorded it like this is you're not. This isn't working the way you think it's working.
No, this.
Yeah. I don't know what you thought you were doing by recording this. It's not a good look.
I would throw that out.
Quick question for Dell. It's about John. Who do you think John would like better in their prime, not now, Foxy Brown or Lil' Kim? And I'm saying I'm hearing Jay-Z, so he's a Foxy Brown. But who do you think John would like better? Knowing John the way you know John, Foxy Brown or Lil' Kim? Once again, John, if you're going to... Oh, well, you can't Google these.
Well, in
you
her
have the
prime.
Input. In their prime.
I think Lil' Kim in
really?
Her prime, yeah.
Okay.
There's some issues that went down after her prime where
that's why I had to say in their
you
prime.
You go under the knife and all that
John's
stuff.
Not a big fan of people butchering their faces.
Not
nor
many people are.
Most of us aren't.
But in her.
No, well, then she's out immediately if she's going to do that in the future.
Well, Lil' Kim did
Well, but in her. And then she got a lighter shade of what she was. A lot of things going
true.
On there. But I think in her prime, when she was on MTV, I think John would have liked Lil' Kim.
I think he would have. I'm looking
like
at
you go Lil' Kim. Oh,
he would have liked Lil' Kim better than Foxy Brown.
Yeah, Lil' Kim in the 90s.
Now
I think
Foxy
he would
Brown
quite a bit
with Kim. What's her name? The movie.
Why did she do that to her face?
Oh, do you see her face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cat face. Yeah. It's that horrible thing that they do.
Oh God.
When I say they, I mean some women. I don't understand. I don't know why they think that's a look. It's like, well, now you've done it,
man. No, Lil' Kim in her prime, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I called that one.
Yeah, you're
I
right.
think you called that. You called that right.
What's her name? Who was the star from the blaxploitation movies who was in Foxy
Brown? Pam Greer?
Yeah, Pam Greer. Now, I think John knows Pam Greer. John would take prime Pam Greer over prime Lil' Kim.
Yes, prime, yes. Prime Pam Greer. Yes.
She'd win most battles.
She was a first rounder, top five pick.
Oh yeah,
one of those. Yeah, generational.
Did you guys ever watch Foxy Brown, the Tarantino movie?
I've seen bits. I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
It's worth seeing. Robert De Niro has a little different type of character. Samuel L. Jackson is a little different. In the middle of that is Quentin Tarantino basically busts out his foot fetish because he does a close-up of what's-her-name Bridget Fonda's feet, and then that was the last time Fonda, and then it just went downhill for Fonda. But
well, in Pulp Fiction, he did the foot fetish thing too.
Did he? I think he did. I think he did.
Well, what's this latest one? I always forget the name.
Django Unchained.
No, the one with Brad.
Hateful Eight.
No, the one with Brad Pitt and Leo. What's it called again?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, he did it there where Margaret Qualley puts her feet right up on the dashboard.
Yeah, he loves his feet.
That's his thing. And what's her name's, I think, is kind of dirty.
Who?
Bridget Fonda. That's no good. What are we doing here, Quentin?
Oh.
I think on the bottom. Yeah. She's walking around barefoot. Oh. She's a stoner.
Oh. Well, Margaret Qualley's like playing someone who's too young for Brad Pitt, like underage, and he goes, "Wait a minute, what are you doing here?" She puts her feet right up on the car. So
yeah.
That's Tarantino's thing.
Yeah, Tarantino's got a thing. So I've got a thing. It's going to the World Cup, and I got on at the end of the show. It was everything was opening up at 9. I've been tracking this. I'm going to try to buy tickets. I know it's going to be a little high, but this is literally bucket list. This is one time in my life I'll ever be able to do this. So I'm trying to just get two tickets, and I know I'm going to have to save for the guy. I know it's going to be expensive, but I don't know how much. So last chance or final phase tickets are going to open up across the country at 10 a.m. Central. I'm on the website waiting, and boom, I get into the queue at about 9:55 in that neighborhood. I'm like, all right, I'll have to wait probably, 10, 15 minutes, and then I get a – So then an hour and a half in, it shows me having that I've made the little distance. It shows I've got like halfway to go, and then it resets me to where I have more time to wait. So to make a long story short, I wait 2.5 hours. I start at 9:50, then at 12:40, I finally get in, and I'm like, okay, I follow all the, okay, I got to put my name in, my address. And then it asks, who are you a supporter of? And I'm like, USA? I mean, I don't want to take it. I mean, I'm just USA. And so then it turns out, and then it just says, oh, no tickets are available for you. Sorry. After I waited all that time. Here, they've got an article on ESPN about this because this was a major problem yesterday. Some people clicked on the FIFA what's called last-minute sales phase when sales open at 11 a.m. Eastern, they were directed into a queue for PMA late qualifier supporter sale phase, which is where I got directed into. Aim for a segment of fans for the Six Nations who earned berths on Tuesday, which is not when I said I got pushed into this line, and it didn't matter. Like, unless I said I was from one of those countries, and then I would have had to show ID, I'm sure, to purchase. So basically, I waited 2.5 hours. And the whole thing was busted anyway. It didn't even work. FIFA had they did not have an explanation for why the link misdirection occurred, but said around noon that links were working properly. Well, by then all the tickets were gone anyway. It wouldn't have mattered. But actually it wasn't. So I waited 2.5 hours, got sent to the wrong place, had no chance to buy, so now I'm screwed. And the tickets are sky high across the FIFA raised the ticket prices, the highest ticket prices, from $7,800 to $10,000. I mean, this is just a total grift. They are a total grift. Golly. I don't know why everyone has to squeeze as tightly as they can. But so, anyway.
Just call your boy and go behind the scenes.
Well, we're gonna see. I mean, I'm paying for whatever. I'm not getting anything free. I'm trying to make calls here locally. We're working on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I just want a chance to buy tickets at face value. I would wait in line for 2.5 hours in a queue online. I'll go stand somewhere to get tickets at face value. And I know face value is going to be high, but it's not going to be 10,000 or whatever, where the most expensive tickets. But I mean, they don't even make it to where you can even do that. I'm sure you've got to give some Saudi prince something. So then I can have a chance to buy tickets, or I don't know. Who knows?
What would you give FIFA?
What
if a Saudi prince requested something from you? What would you give?
One of my kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I want tickets for the final.
Why would he want one of your kids, though?
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I'm saying
it's not good value for him.
No, it's like whenever we say certain trades, like I would give up Jayshon Tate, Jeff Green and Tari for Giannis. Like, no, that's not a good trade. That's what I'm trying to do here, Dell. I'd give up Jayshon Tate, Snacks, Jeff Green.
So you're trading Rockets and your kid?
Yeah.
Huh.
To make the numbers work.
The numbers.
Trying to make the numbers work. I got to get the salary match. I give Snacks a lot of credit. He's working until 11:30 at night.
Like downstairs?
Downstairs at the Clutch City Grill. Oh, he gets pissed when people come in at like... they close at 11.
Everyone
they come
does.
In at 10:50, and they always
it's
do.
It's part of the job.
I've been a waiter.
You think you're done, and
it's
you're
never,
not done.
And then those people come in, and you can't believe the amount of hate. If you're ever one of those people, just be nice, because behind their scenes, everyone wants to hate you. So if you're nice to those people, they like it goes away. They're like, okay, they're pretty cool. So just if you're one of those people who come in late, just be cool, because you're now forcing everyone to get home like 45 minutes to an hour later. So just giving you the heads up. But yeah, Snacks gets home at around midnight and then goes to school the next day. My wife and I are not happy he's doing that, but he doesn't care. He's trying to save up enough money to get a car. So
good for him.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. All right. We got a break. 713-780-3776. Giannis was giving out hugs last night.
Yeah.
See what that means on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
That's his love language. Your love language may be jewelry. Maybe your wife's love language or your girlfriend's love language is jewelry. If that's the case, I got you covered. Zadig Jewelers, going to make things happen for Mother's Day, going to make things happen for any day. Zadig Jewelers is going to have a gift that is going to blow her away. She's going to be so excited by what it is that you're going to find at Zadig Jewelers. It's really simple. You can go in with no idea about what you want to, you know, what you want to do, what you want to have, and they handle everything. They can just say, look, give us an idea of the budget that you want to spend so we can take you. We can get you in the right direction of where you want to go. And maybe you don't even know what the budget is. That's fine. They're not, I mean, this isn't some high pressure. They're not trying to sell you a car. They just want to find something that she's going to love. They know all the best designers. They know all the hottest precious metals and the designs and which rings look really cool that everyone's loving. And they can even, you can even take a picture of something that you saw on a red carpet of the Oscars. I don't care where you saw it. Take a picture and bring it into them, and they can design it. They can make it custom made. Can you imagine giving a custom made gift to your special someone? They're going to absolutely love it, and they're going to feel special, and you're going to benefit from that. You know, it's at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, beautiful location, 28,000 square feet, and they've been in business now for 5 decades, making Houstonians happy. They are the unofficial jewelers of the city of Houston. Hell, I'll say the state of Texas. It's Zadig Jewelers. Go online. You can start the process by seeing what it is that you want to get your hands on at Zadig.com, but just stop in, and they will make all of her dreams come true.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm always ready to take a life again.
Reed Shepard last night. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, really
pretty
good.
Pretty damn good.
Really good.
Really good. I mean, that's what you're looking for. I mean, obviously. 9 of 14 from 3 is... And he jammed his finger. And he jammed his finger, but he still was able to play through it and just knock down all those shots. He just looks really good right now. When asked about this whole starting thing, you know, I don't know that it matters. It might matter to Tari, but it seems like it really doesn't matter to Reed Shepard.
Reed, you and Tari have been that rotating fifth starter this season. How much have you two been there for each other as far as encouraging each other when one starts and when one doesn't?
Yeah, a lot. You know, and it's not just me and Tari. You know, it's everybody. Everyone's encouraging everybody. You know, no matter what it is, if Tari's starting, everybody's happy. Everyone's doing what they're doing. If I'm starting, it's the same thing. And, you know, me and Tari have talk to each other, and we neither one of us care who starts as long as the game is just going good. It doesn't matter to us. You know, we just want to win and play the game. So it doesn't matter. We talked about it the other day at practice. It was funny. And, you know, we both kind of had the same response. That was just like, hey, it's your turn. Go do what you do. Be aggressive. Go out there and make an impact. And then, you know, tonight he was saying the same thing to me. So it doesn't matter either. Whoever starts, you know, the whole team and for sure me and Tar are going to be complimenting each other, pushing for each other.
So good vibes.
For sure. Great vibes. Great vibes.
Yeah, Reed doesn't strike me as somebody who's like looking to rock the boat a whole lot. Maybe it's just the way his face looks. He looks like a go along to get along guy.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that Tari is. I'm not saying
well, he's
that
got contract
Tari
coming
is a bad
up.
Teammate,
right?
But I do feel like Tari. Hey, before the season started, he wasn't in the top 100. He goes, I'm a top 100 player.
Right.
Blah, blah. You know, hey, you know, I want to start for a team. He refused the contract. It seems like that kind of stuff matters to Tari.
Well, it's year four.
Yeah.
It should. Like, this is where he's defined. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to be a bona fide. Yeah. He wants that big second contract. You know, so. I mean, I can understand it. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not accusing him of anything, and I'm not, you know, criticizing him. It feels like, I mean, I would want to start. Everybody wants to start, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody would love to have that big money contract, especially when you're coming up on your deal. It was a free agent year. He bet on himself. I mean, there's been a lot of pressure on him. It seemed like it was relieved a little bit the last couple of games. After they had the meeting with him last night, not so much, but it seemed like he was starting to get some of that pressure off him. And, you know, starting every night might be better for him, and Reed can still be efficient or still contribute if he's coming off the bench where maybe Tari can't.
Yeah. 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 Tari's in a different place than Reed Sheppard. So I get it. I'm not mad at Tari. I mean, he's got the pressure of the next contract coming and, you know, potentially losing millions. I mean, there's two things. Number one, I think it matters to Tari. I think basketball matters. I think winning matters to him. And I think how he performs matters to him. It's not just about, but it is two pronged. I mean, his second contract is coming up. So there is a monetary number attached to it. But there's also just the fact that he's not playing well. And this is a guy who has missed a lot of time because of lower leg issues and extremity issues, lower body issues that have really hampered him in the past and caused him games. And there's going to be a frustration setting in where when he does play, he was lousy in March. I mean, just absolutely lousy. Any of us would be upset if what we were doing, if what we were paid to do, we were – you know, we weren't doing well. We wouldn't know what that's like. But, I mean, but for Tari, it's got to be frustrating to not be really, really good at what he's paid to do like we are. That would be frustrating. But in all honesty, I just think Tari, you know, and Tari does want to be considered. I think it's important for Tari to be considered, you know, one of the better players in the league. That's part of the standard. I mean, that the contract number kind of speaks to that. But Tari wants to be known as the Tari Eason that everyone was looking at after year two. Like, oh, man, this guy. And I'm sure it's very frustrating. Reed Sheppard's just like, whatever. I'm in year two. I'm getting better. I don't think he's as high strung as Tari is. And it's not a bad thing. I think the high strung stuff leads to the way he plays defense sometimes, which is good. Like, I think it's part of his personality. But I don't know. I mean, I just want him to play well for us. I just want him to play well for himself. I don't think he'll be here next year. I think he's going to look for a bigger contract. I'm not sure he's going to find it. I mean, I'm not sure he's going to find more than what the right. It only takes one team, but man, be careful because you could end up on a team that's not very good, and then you turn into. And I don't think that's what Tari doesn't strike me as a guy who just wants money and empty stats and no wins. I don't get the feeling that's who he is. I might be wrong. He might just want to go somewhere where he doesn't care. They can win 32 games a year, and he makes $28 million a year instead of whatever it was the Rockets offering, like 25, something like that. Maybe extra $3 million a year and getting empty stats with a losing team is just fine for him, but I don't feel like that's the case. And I don't know if the Rockets come back with the same offer after the season's over. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that I would. And if you don't, that's going to really create bad feelings. But if you're the Rockets, you have to say, hey, bro, we love you. But your number was this when you started, and your number right now for us is this. Like, in the real world, that's probably what it should be. But if you do that, I already know feelings are going to get hurt, and that will shut it down. And then people are going to get to tweeting.
Yeah, it's I don't know. We'll see. They love Tari. I know that. But at what price? Not if he's, you know, at least he's been healthy this year. That's a step forward. But his inconsistency has been just awful, just bad. You can't give him money. Now, he's going to be he's awfully important to the postseason run, though. He's awfully important. We'll see. Did you see after the game, Giannis was hugging? He was hugging Ben Sullivan, the assistant coach, and Kevin Durant. Does that mean Giannis is coming? That Giannis is going to be a Houston Rocket? They're uniting Kevin Durant and Ben Sullivan and Giannis?
I doubt it.
You what?
No, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think Kevin Durant and Giannis are going to be on the same team next year.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay, well, that's you. I mean,
yeah. Doesn't seem like. I don't think Rafael really likes parting with players too much. He parted ways with one of his players, which was Jalen Green. I'm not sure he's looking to part with two more, because it would take at least two of them, two of his players, two core players to get Giannis. And I just don't know that he's going to do that. I already told you my feeling on it. Like, you'd be old as hell. Van Vliet, Steven Adams. I think Clint Capella is still under contract. Giannis, Kevin Durant, like, that's five guys over 30. I'm sure there's another one I'm missing as well. You are super old. You get rid of all your young core. You're basically saying, we're the Rockets after the Barkley trade now. We're basically got a 3-year window and we're done.
If you look at this team and say this iteration is not a championship team, I don't mind. I don't mind going after it. And if you don't think that Elpy and Jabari and Amen and Tari and Reed are the basis of a championship team, our foundation for a championship team, then you know what? You've got to make a move. And if it's for Giannis, You were pro Giannis before.
Yeah, I know. That's before the Durant move. I said it had to be one or the other, and I wanted it to be Giannis. And I don't know if that was the right one. It would have definitely been Tari. At least Tari, maybe Jabari, one of those two, and Alpi, and a bunch of draft picks would have been that for sure. I don't know if that would have been the right move, to be honest with you. But that's the one that I wanted personally. I wanted that more than Durant. But once again, in fairness, I also thought it was because Durant, you know, I was more worried about injury than burner accounts. And once we got Durant, I thought, okay, well, this guy is really going to solve a lot of the late, you know, the fourth quarter stuff. The Rockets are going to be in control of the fourth quarter because they got a closer. That just hadn't been the case. I was wrong on that. I think the Rockets were wrong on it. I think all of us were wrong on it. We just thought Kevin Durant is going to be this awesome closer and all those problems are gone. And that has not been the answer. But no, I never wanted both of them. I always said both of them doesn't make any sense because your entire team is gutted. You basically just have one old star and one who is older in Giannis, and your window is like minuscule, and some of the talent you need around them are gone. You won't get them back, and you won't have draft picks because you're trading draft picks, and you won't have and you'll win at a level where you can't draft high anyway. It's not a smart build out. It's not. You should have, if you wanted Giannis, but I don't think they could have done the Giannis move. I don't think the Rockets were willing to pay the freight for Giannis. And frankly, nobody was. Nobody was because Milwaukee didn't deal him last year. Now, I do think Milwaukee's going to deal him. I think Myles Garrett's going to get dealt from Cleveland. If not this year, I don't think he plays a snap for Cleveland in 2027. Some of these, I think Jalen Hurts is, we haven't talked about the Jalen Hurts thing. I think that is real. So maybe when we come back, It's not our problem. It's not our problem. Nope. We got CJ. But right now, the Eagles, it got really messy yesterday with the report from Jeremy Fowler that he had been working on for months and months and months about Jalen Hurts. We'll tell you about that because the Eagles now have some problems. We don't have problems, but is Tank Dell going to be back when we thought he was? He doesn't look quite as sure anymore. We'll get to that on the other side.
All right, on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
The Thunder, boys.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.